in the book of Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be going through verse 15. We're going to read down through verse number 19. Tonight, we've been going through the role and the function of the church. We've hit on a few things. And like I said, as I started this, I'm not really going in any particular order. So tonight, we're going to talk about church discipline. I believe it's an area that we need to talk about because it's in the Word of God. And so we'll deal with this tonight. So let's read these four verses here, and then we'll go into the Lord of Prayer and go from there. It says, moreover, verse number 15 of chapter 18, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we just read these scriptures, these verses that you've given us tonight concerning the matter that could take place in churches when it comes to disciplining somebody who is not wanting to seek repentance of their sin. God, I know it could be a touching matter. So, God, I pray that you just use me tonight to bring forth the truths that you would want to have tonight. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I struggled with this on really how to go about this for this evening service, but it's kind of a wrestling match that God and I had this afternoon, and just to let you know, God won. So we're going to go that direction. We're going to go in God's way. So as we go on here, unfortunately, there will be some times in the church that will have to, at some point or another, will have to take discipline upon a brother or a sister that is in the church. And the reason why church discipline will have to be enforced is the fact that they have been caught in a sin, and they are not willing to repent, and because of their unrepentedness, you would have to take discipline upon them. Now, I have been involved, I've gotten involved in a later part of a church discipline 5-6 years ago. I know people have been involved with that as well, and some of those things don't go over so well, and sometimes it doesn't go so well because they don't do it according to Scripture. Now, when you do those things, you have to take, you have to bring Scripture into it, or otherwise, you're going to have a whole mess on your hands. And so, as we continue to go through this, I'm going to point out some things that we need to take into suggestion for this. First of all, when church discipline is being done, it's never done for revenge. That's what a lot of folks might think. Well, he or she did this wrong, so we must be vengeful, and we must take this action. It's not for revenge, nor should it be. And also, it's not be done because of hate in your heart towards them. Church discipline is done for this reason. It's done for the restoration of that person so that they can come to a repentative attitude, walk away from the thing that has separated them from God and from the church, and bring them to a place of restoration so that they can again have fellowship with you, and more importantly than that, so that they can have fellowship with God. That's why church discipline is to take place. It's for the restoration of that individual. No different than a mom and dad when they correct a child when they've done wrong. It's to restore them of their bad behavior so they don't go down that path again in their life. So that's why that is done. So before we even get in how to discipline, how is it to be handled? I'm going to give you some things that you should not do when it comes to church discipline. And the reason for this advice is so that we can understand the importance of showing this during this process, and that is love. As you begin to go down the restoration process of bringing that individual back, you do it to show them love. Now, you know the last 3 or 4 weeks, the theme of the Sunday school class has been love. We met last week. We had a time of fellowship. Why do we have a time of fellowship? Because we're showing love towards one another. So we do this to show them love. And at the same time, not to be judgmental towards them. Because again, you got to look inside your own closets. We all have skeletons. We all have scars of the things that we have borne in the past. And so we don't want to be judgmental towards them. We want to be a help towards them. So I'm going to give you five things tonight that will help you, some things of not to do towards an individual, a brother or sister in Christ, that is going through this process. The first thing that I'm going to give you is don't ignore them. Don't ignore them. That's the last thing that you'd want to do is to ignore them. And basically, when you're ignoring them, you're putting a mark upon them. You're like, oh, they've done this wrong, and so I'm going to step away. They have become the plague. That's what our mind is thinking. They're sinners. They have become a plague. And so we're going to step out of our way, and we're going to ignore them. That's not the path to restoration. That's not the path of showing somebody that you love them through this process. So we don't want to ignore them. Number two is very simple, and I've already said this, but don't show any signs of hate. Don't show any signs of hate. Again, why are we trying to bring them to restoration? One is because we love them. Well, why do I say the word hate? Because again, we sit there and we think, oh, how can so-and-so do such a thing? Oh, they're wicked, they're cruel, and they're sick individuals. And so our thought process, as we begin to think about those things, it begins to stir up an emotion in us, and that emotion turns to hatred. Oh, I hate that person for what they've done. I hate that person for what they've said. You know, I've been reminded this week, Chad, you can't say the word hate. And the reason why that was brought to my attention, because hate is a strong word. Hate is a strong word. So don't ignore them, number one. Two, don't show any signs of hate, because we're trying to bring them to the restoration process. The third thing I believe is very important as well as we go through this, and that is don't allow yourself to gossip about that situation that's taken place. So often we fall into this little category of gossip. And let's face it, we've all been a part of this. We've all been a part of gossiping about somebody in a church, in our family, or in the workforce. But let me tell you this. Gossip is one of the number one destroyers of a church. And so I say this to give you great caution in this area, because the last thing that you want to do is to allow yourself to go to an individual and begin to talk about what they've done. So in other words, you know, if Jeff has done something wrong, he's done something wrong against his wife, and I'm aware of this, my job is, first of all, we'll get through this, is to go to him. My job is not to bypass Jeff and go to Charlie and begin to gossip about what Jeff has done. Because what that is going to do, Charlie's going to see that I'm not keeping things to myself. And he's saying, okay, Chad, it's okay for Chad to come to me and talk to me about this and gossip about this. And so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go and talk to Julie about this thing. And so you see the process that's taking place. You're seeing stories that are being built up. And what happens with gossip is, the story always gets twisted. You never hear the full truth. And we can make an example of this tonight. I can tell Gary something that I can have him pass along to his wife, and before it gets up to me, down to Christina here, the whole story might change. See, gossip puts a twist on things. And so we don't want to get into that thought process, okay, somebody's done something wrong, and all of a sudden we're doing psh, 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 psh. No, that's not what we need to do. Matter of fact, what we should do in that situation is, first of all, is go to the Lord in prayer. See, we're not being a help by going to so-and-so and talking about this problem to everybody underneath the sun. We're not being a help in that area. But one of the greatest areas that we can be a help when it comes to a person who is involved in this sin is to pray for them. And not to turn around and to drag them through the mud, to make them feel worse than what they already are, to make the church want to hate them even more, to make the church want to ignore them even more. Our job is not to gossip, but our job is to pray for that individual. The fourth thing is, I'm going to be honest with you, the fourth thing is very hard for me. And I struggle with this. And so I'm going to let you have something tonight that I struggle with when it comes to things of this nature. Don't let your personal feelings get involved. Don't let your personal feelings get involved. Because when you allow your personal feelings to get involved, guess what's going to take place? Number one, you're going to ignore them. Number two, you're going to hate them. Number three, you're going to begin to gossip about them as well. So don't allow your personal feelings to get involved. Seek God in these matters. Number five is very crucial. So we got don't ignore, don't show any signs of hate, don't allow yourself to gossip, don't allow your personal feelings get involved because we're wanting to bring them to restoration. The fifth thing, write this down. If you're writing anything down tonight, write this down. Don't forget this could be you. Don't forget this could be you. You know, we point our fingers at so-and-so and this person, that person, and we gossip, we ignore, and we hate. But let me remind every single one of us that is in here tonight, we are all one decision away from making the worst choice in our life. Every single one of us. Which is why I've said from this pulpit on many different occasions, we need to have spiritual discernment when it comes to making choices in our life. So this could be you. And so when if this is you, you want to go through this process with people sharing love towards you, showing love and showing encouragement and things of that nature. So those are the five things that I want you to take tonight from this of what not to do. And I don't believe that there is a pastor out there that looks forward to taking church discipline on a church member, or it could be church members, it could be a group of people. However, there are occasions that matters have to be dealt with before it infests the church. In other words, you have to take a stand because you don't want people running around thinking this is okay and that's okay, and before you know it, we have no values. We have no standards. The reason why church discipline takes place is because of values, is because of standards, is because of conviction. But there are occasions where it has to be dealt with because you don't want it to infest the church. So in Matthew, as we go through this, we are given in great detail on how we are to act in matters in this area. And it's done in a way to bring them to repentance. It's done in a way to bring them to restoration. And it's done to show them of your love, concern, and compassion for them. And you want them to have fellowship with you and with God himself. So how are we to deal with this matter? Well, let's read here in verse number 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults." So I used an illustration just a little while ago when it came to gossiping. So Jeff has committed a sin. He has done something that's going to have correction in his life. There's something that's going to take place, and that is if there's no repentance in his life, there's going to have to be church discipline takes place. So when this matter comes to my knowledge, and whatever it is, I got to deal with this matter. So my job is to not bypass Jeff and to go to Charlie. The first thing that we must do in the restoration process is this. I must go and tell Jeff of his faults. You know, Jeff's already aware of what he's doing, but I'm making him aware that I know. And what he has done has offended God. What he has done has offended me. And what he has done in this process as well. Now, let's think about this. Jeff's our youth leader here. It's offended every teenager that he has had contact with. And so here's what's taken place, because I don't want Jeff to lose his testimony even further than what it has been, because he's looked up to. God has placed him in a place of leadership. So the last thing I would want for him is to allow this matter to get out of hand, to allow it to get back to the teenagers. And then if it got back to the teenagers, here's what's going to take place. I knew it. I knew it all along. Ugh. Jeff was a phony. I'm just imagining that's how you girls think sometimes and how you talk. And it discourages them. And they're going to think everything that you've taught us, everything that you showed us that we should be concerned about, you've totally gone against that. And so what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to save Jeff from going down that road. And so I'm going to act as Scripture tells me to do, and I'm going to go to him, what's the word say? Alone. Alone. I'm not going to go to anybody else in this church, because as of right now, his matter does not concern you. Nor am I going to make it public, because I'm going to give Jeff the opportunity to come clean. And it's not to come clean to me, because he doesn't have to confess his sins or his faults to me, because I'm not his judge. God is his judge. And so I'm wanting to restore him in this process. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say, Jeff, you know I work for you every single summer, and you've shorted me $20 every single week. Now, you're getting free labor out of me. You know, that's a silly illustration, but I'm just giving you something. Thanks, Linda. Totally throwing me off here. So I go to Jeff in this matter and say, Jeff, this is what's going on. Now you need to make it right. Now, here's what the word says. It says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. See, we don't want to lose a brother. We don't want to throw them by the wayside. We don't want to forget about them. Because, again, as I said earlier, every single one of us is one decision away from this point in our life. And so we want to be an encouragement. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say, hey, this is what's going on, Jeff. I see this. I don't agree with how this is going on. I don't want you to ruin your testimony. This is what's at stake, Jeff. This is what's at stake. The teenagers, they look up to you. The people in the church, they look up to you. And I don't want you to lose that. So I'm giving you this opportunity to come clean. And so if that was to take place, and he hears me and he corrects his ways, what have I done? I've gained a brother. I've gained his trust. I've gained confidence in him, knowing that I can go to him, he can hear me, and he can see what he's done, and relationship between him and I and God is restored. But here's what verse number 16 says. But if he will not hear thee, then what's it say? Then it says, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So the Bible says if. So I went to Jeff, confronted him with his problem, no restoration. No forgiveness, no repentance, no remorse on his part. Matter of fact, he laughs in my face, and then he continues to do the very thing that I have confronted him about. Continues to go about his life. And so now it's to a point where, hey, we really got to deal with matters. We got to get serious here. So now is the time where I'm going to bring in two or more witnesses, or maybe one at that time, to bring Jeff to the place where he needs to be in his restoration process with the Lord. Again, with the one, two, or three, whoever I bring in, it's not their job to go outside that body that we just brought ourselves into and to begin to go into the other part of the body and begin to spread gossip. That stays between that little group that is formed right then and there. To really, to be a witness, so my words aren't used against me during a later process if things were to come up. Those witnesses can back me up. If Jeff was to try to throw me under the bus and make lies and accusations about me, those witnesses are there to back me up. And so again, this is a process that needs to take place according to God's word, because we're trying to bring a brother or sister back to fellowship with God. And so if that doesn't take place, there's a third step that is involved in here. And that begins in verse number 17. It says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." So now is the time to bring the church into it. "But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." So if it comes to a point in time that after we have met with Jeff and I, then after we have met with the two or three witnesses, then we brought the whole church involved in this mess, and there's still no repentance on the part of Jeff, well, what's got to take place? Well, we're going to have to take discipline upon Jeff. Consider this. He's in a place of education. He's teaching our young people. Let me ask somebody who has a child in Jeff's class, Sandra. If you knew of a sin that Jeff was performing and didn't seek repentance, would you want him to be your child's teacher? No. So we would have to take discipline upon Jeff and remove him from that class, because he's no longer qualified to be teaching those young people. See, church discipline is very serious. But it's only done when there's no repentance upon that individual. A known sin that they don't seek forgiveness from. And that has to take, the church will have to take matters into their hands at that point in time and begin to do that process of what is necessary. Why? Because if you don't take church discipline on somebody who's not willing to repent of their sins, then you're really giving Satan free rein in this church. What you're saying is, we have no standards, we have no values, we have no convictions. Live your life how you want to live it. Well, I'm happy that you come to church. No, folks, there is a stand that we have to take when it comes to serving God, and especially dealing with sinful matters. But when that takes place, here's something that happens that I think is kind of scary. The discipline's taking place. Sometimes the individuals are removed from their place of teaching or worship or their service. And then there are times where they're totally removed from the church. Now, here's something that takes place that I think is sad. When they have come to the point in time where they're removed from the church, where do they go? Do we stop caring about them? Do we stop praying for them? So often that is the case. Oh, they're gone. They didn't repent. Who cares? Just because that has taken place in their life, folks, let me be a reminder to you tonight. Do not stop caring for them. Do not give up on them. Because they need you now more than ever. And you can still be an encouragement to them. Yes, they've been removed from some things in their areas of service. But you can still be that brother or sister to guide them back to Jesus Christ. But that's normally what happens, is they're forgotten about. And when they're forgotten about, they don't go to any other church. They stay in the world, and that's where they'll be for the remainder of their life. I believe our job goes beyond, even when it comes to church disciplining. We still are concerned about them. We still love them. Yeah, they might be considered the black sheep of the family or the prodigal son. But even with that being said, when you think of the prodigal son, what was the father doing every single day? He was waiting for his son to come home. He was waiting for him. Why? Because he was valuable to him. And I'm saying this for a reason. Every single breathing member of this church is valuable to us. And we need every single one of you. And so I hope that if that is to ever come in play, that we would continue to show them the love that they need to have. Take the necessary steps in this process that needs to be taken according to Scripture, and then to continue to love them, because we want them to still come back and be in fellowship with us. The last thing we want is for them to be out in the world. But it's done because they don't want to come to a place in their life to repent of their sins. That's why that takes place. Can restoration take place? Yes. Is it a long process? Yes, it can be a long process. I've known of some church disciplines that have been in process for 9 months, 11 months, 12 months. Given the individual time to come to a place of repentance. It's just not, okay, we'll meet a week. Yep, we're done. We'll wash our hands of you. No, it can be a process. And the reason why this is being done, because sin needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. Again, as I close, this could be you. This could be you. You can be that brother or sister that can fall into this category because of one bad decision. And we're all right there. We're not perfect. Not yet, anyway. But someday we will be. So I hope that this can be an encouragement to you tonight. I'm all done for this evening. You guys might not believe this, but I only had a page of notes. I usually have about four or five of them. But let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to meet here this night. We thank you for allowing us to see your word. And God, I just want to say thank you for the church that you allowed Pastor to start years ago. Lord, for a group of people who truly love you and desire to seek your face. God, I ask that you would continue to protect us from the evils of this world. God, I pray that you just have your hand upon us to where we will not be facing a situation like this. You have protected us for so many years, and we are so grateful for that. God, help us to guard our hearts. And Lord, help us to continue to be an encouragement to one another. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.